Titus chapter 1. Well, I'll tell you what, that rain sure is a blessing, amen? That's a lot of rain. Then comes the mosquitoes. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 9. Paul writes to Titus here, and he says, well, really, just stop back, look back at verse 8. Well, verse 7, we'll go there for there. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, temperate. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, in this passage here, notice that it talks about being sound. Now, there are sounds all around us, and sometimes there are so many sounds around us that we like to block those sounds out. If somebody's talking, I can't read while somebody's talking. I can't do it. I have to either wait till they get done, or I have to go somewhere else because of the sounds there. And so a lot of times we block out what we don't want to hear. Now, children, teenagers, young people, sometimes they do that a lot. They block out the things that they don't want to hear. And sometimes, you know, as men, as we get older, sometimes we continue to do that. Amen. But there are sounds found in the Bible. For example, the context of sound is found quite a bit. In the book of Revelation, we're admonished to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So in other words, if we're to hear something, there has to be a sound there. In other words, somebody speaking and says, we're to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And that means that there is a spiritual side to sound. However, tonight I want us to consider another kind of sound in the Bible, and that is the sound spoken to us here in Titus chapter 1. And the sound here in this verse has more to do, rather than the sounds that you hear, it has more to do with being free from defect or something that's true and uncorrupted. In other words, if something is sound, it's something that you can count on. If something is sound, you know, like for instance, if I were to build a chair, which by the way, you'd never want to sit on a chair that I built, it would not be sound. Amen. But you know, when we buy a house, we want to make sure that the foundation's sound. In other words, there aren't supposed to be anything wrong with it. It should be something that's trustworthy, something that you can lean on. Amen? If I were to build a chair, you would expect to be sound before you sit on the thing. And so that's what we're talking about here when it talks about it being sound or something being sound. And Paul here speaks a lot about the type of soundness spoken of here in the book of Titus. And really, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Now, I want you to first notice here that it's important for us to be sound in doctrine. In other words, the doctrine that you learn, the doctrine that you count on, is something that should be sound. It should be something that there is no defect in it. Now, you say, well, what's doctrine? Well, doctrine in the Bible is basically teaching. That's what doctrine means. It's the teaching. And it says here that we are to have sound doctrine. In fact, he's telling Titus here to make sure that he is to be faithful. He is holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and convince the gainsayers. In other words, he's telling Titus here, he's saying, listen, you need to preach sound doctrine. You need to teach sound doctrine. And when he's saying that, he's saying that the doctrine that you teach is supposed to be without error. It's supposed to be something that you can count on as being truth. And so that's what he's teaching here. That's what he told Titus to do. And so he is saying that we need to be sound in our doctrine. And so what we profess to know and what we teach others, we need to be sound in that. Now, you've heard me say a couple times that when I first got into ministry, one of the things that I was told to do was take everything that I believed about the Bible and go to the Scriptures and find out if it's true. Now, I'll tell you something. When you do that, what you're going to find is there are a lot of things over the years that we hear, and our minds will sometimes put that as doctrine in the Bible when it's not doctrine in the Bible. For instance, you'll hear sayings as you're growing up, and in life you'll hear sayings or proverbs from a Japanese proverb or something, and you hear it for so many times, pretty soon you start to think it's Scripture. You might even hear some preachers start to throw it in there and start to think it's Scripture. For instance, you hear things like, God helps those that help themselves. Now, you know, I'm not saying that's true or not, but I'll tell you this, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. You hear things like, let God be your co-pilot. That's certainly not in the Bible, amen? It's not there. In fact, if you're somewhat wise, you would want God to be the pilot. Get your God picking hands off the wheel, amen? And so that's certainly not doctrine. That's not sound doctrine. You say, well, what is sound doctrine? It's those things that the Bible declare to be truth. Now, why? Jesus said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word is truth. And so if you're going to have something that is sound, it has to be true, so therefore it must be according to the Scriptures, okay? According to Scriptures, rightly divided. Now, there are some professing believers today that will say that doctrine divides, so we need to forget about doctrine and just focus on, getting along. But may I tell you that you can't focus, for starters, our focus is supposed to be on the author and finisher of our faith. Our focus is supposed to be on Jesus Christ. And you can't focus on Jesus Christ without focusing on doctrine. You can't. Because he is a central theme of all teaching. I mean, everything in the Bible, it's about Jesus from start to finish. Amen? And so, because of that, how can you focus on Christ without focusing on doctrine? How can you know Christ without knowing doctrine and making sure that doctrine is sound? And may I tell you this, folks, there are a lot of people today that are teaching unsound doctrine when it comes to Christ. There are people today in this world that teach that Christ is a God. When he's not, he's God himself, manifest in the flesh. And so when somebody says that Jesus Christ is not God, or somebody says there's no such thing as the Trinity, that's not sound doctrine. You can't know Christ the way you're supposed to know Christ, or the way you're expected to know Christ, unless you have been taught sound doctrine. And so certainly what is being taught concerning Christ is what will determine whether something is true or not concerning him. Now, it is true that doctrine does divide, and I won't deny that. If you teach sound doctrine today in churches, if you go out on the street when you're out witnessing to people and you teach sound doctrine, you're going to notice that a lot of people is going to jump up there and start arguing with you and picking apart what you say. And some people in church get mad and walk out. You know, that's one of the things that we really can't worry about, because as long as we're teaching what the Bible says, then I can't help it if somebody gets mad. Why? I am obligated to teach what the Bible says. That's sound doctrine. Now, the bottom line is this. I hate to see people get mad. I hate to see people, if they get up and walk out. I hate to see that. But the truth of the matter is I won't stand before you on Judgment Day. I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's who I answer for. And so that's what I have to look at, folks. And listen, there have been times, like I've told you before, I remember that one time I was teaching on the Passover, and there was a Messianic Jew sitting in the back seat, back of the church. That's when I was in Oklahoma, and when I teach on it, I was teaching exactly what the Bible says, and I mean, right in the middle of the service, stood up and said, I don't have to listen to this, and she left. I just kept on preaching. And so, the thing of it is, Paul says to Titus here that he is to teach sound doctrine. And yes, it does divide. But I've learned this. If a person is searching for truth, the Lord will show him truth in that Bible. But if a person is not searching for truth and he doesn't care about truth, then every single time you take anybody that was searching for truth in that Bible, you know what the Lord did? Sent somebody there to give him the truth. You think about the Roman centurion there. His alms went before the Lord. He was searching for truth. You know what the Lord said? Peter, you need to go over to that guy's house and witness to him. He did. The guy got saved. How about the Ethiopian eunuch? He's on the side of the road reading the book of Isaiah. He was searching for truth. You know what the Lord said? Philip, get over there. Give the guy truth. He's looking for it. Give it to him. But then again, when you read the scripture and you find people who were not interested in the truth, for instance, like Ahab over in the Old Testament, when he's getting ready to go to war with Jehoshaphat, and they're going to combine forces, and they're getting ready to go after the enemy, and all of a sudden Jehoshaphat says, "Hey, do you have any prophets that sought the Lord?" And Ahab says, "Oh, I've got quite a few of them here. I got hundreds of them over here that says, go ahead and go with them. Go ahead and go. You're going to get the victory." And Jehoshaphat says, "Do you have anybody else besides those?" And Ahab says, "Yeah, I got one. He's locked up, but I hate him because he's always telling me things I don't want to hear." And so that prophet comes out and tells the truth and says, "If you go today, you're going to die." Now, I tell you, Jehoshaphat was looking for truth, but Ahab didn't care about the truth. If you are searching for truth in that Bible, the Lord will show you truth. He'll show you truth. Listen, it isn't like the Lord says, teach sound doctrine and then not give you a way of doing that. What he's going to do, how many of you understand it's not me that teaches you that Bible? It is the Holy Spirit of God that teaches you that Bible. And if we'll humble ourselves and say, "Lord, teach me sound doctrine," the Lord will teach you sound doctrine. Amen? Amen. And so we are to be sound in our doctrine, even though it may divide us. Now, I tell you this, I've seen it divide churches. I've seen it divide between families. I've seen because sound doctrine divides. And I tell you what, folks, when you start teaching sound doctrine, especially today in this world, expect the opposition to come at you pretty hard. Pretty hard. Because the bottom line is people just don't want to hear sound doctrine. In fact, that's what Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 4:3. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Certainly today there are many people that are looking for more of a social club at churches than they are churches that teach the truth. And there are a lot of people today that really don't care what's being taught as long as there's lots of programs. I mean, programs for this and programs for that. Now, I tell you, it's all about the truth, though, folks. Amen. That's what it's all about. Now, I'm not one of those people to say, "Well, now, listen, if it's a large church and they got thousands of people, obviously there are a bunch of heretics over there." I'm not saying that. Okay, don't get me wrong. I mean, there are some churches today that have a lot of people that teach the truth. Amen. But I will tell you this. The majority of large churches today probably don't teach as much truth as you think. Because if they did, doctrine divides. There'd be some people walk out that door. And so you do have that today. I mean, some of the largest churches in America today, they never preach against this sin or they never preach against that sin. They certainly don't preach hell a whole lot because it's not a very popular subject. They don't want to preach that. And so, but that's sound doctrine. Do you realize what Jesus Christ preached on more than any other subject? He preached on hell more than any other subject. That's what he talked about. But there are people today that will not endure sound doctrine. What they'll do is they'll go and listen to the preacher, and if the preacher is a good orator, then sometimes that's better than what he's actually teaching. And that's the way they look at it. You know, I've heard preachers that could preach up a storm, folks. I mean, if you didn't listen to what he said, you'd say, "Boy, that's a great preacher." But if you actually sit there and listen to what he said, sometimes he's a great preacher, but he's not preaching sound doctrine. In other words, he has the mechanics down. I mean, he's got all the movements down. You know, and listen, I like fiery preachers too. I'm always one of those people that I could listen to a fiery preacher all day long. I mean, we're talking as long as he's got sweat coming from his eyebrow and he's like waving his hanky and everything else. I could sit there and listen to him all day. But the truth of the matter is, it's more important of what is he saying than how he's saying it. Amen? Why? Because we in order to know, in order to understand more about Jesus Christ, we need to have sound doctrine. And so that's what Paul's talking about here. There are many preachers today that are great motivators, but that doesn't mean they're teaching sound doctrine. Now, Paul told Titus this in Titus 2:1. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Every preacher and teacher and everyone who teaches doctrine at all will one day be held accountable for the doctrine that you taught. Now listen, that's not just the preachers. That's not just the teachers. But dads, what you teach your children when it comes to that Bible, make sure it's sound doctrine now. Moms, make sure it's sound doctrine, okay? And when a preacher or teacher teaches a doctrine that's not right, you should be able to come to that preacher and bring it to his attention privately, okay? And you know what should happen at that point is when you come to him privately, you both should sit down and look at the scriptures and just see what the scriptures say, compare scripture to scripture. Now, I'm just going to tell you, in a lot of instances, in a lot of different churches, that may not happen that way. I've been in some churches that, you know, when the preacher is challenged on something he said, even privately, he gets very offended by that. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm human. I can make mistakes. I can misread scripture. I can get it wrong. So can you. People think that just because I'm a preacher, or think because preachers are called of God to preach, that all of a sudden they're the ones who have all the answers. And you know, I'm gonna tell you right now, I have that question box right there on the back table. I guarantee you that half of those questions that are asked, I probably won't be able to answer. Just because I'm called to preach doesn't mean I have all the answers. Okay, it doesn't mean that. And you may have some answers that I don't have. And I may be coming and asking you what you think about certain scriptures. And you know, you come and maybe ask me. But listen, if I teach something wrong, you should be able to come to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, you said this, and you said this, what does this mean? Well, are you sure? Because this verse over here." And we should sit down and talk about it. But I'll tell you this, some preachers aren't that way. Some preachers get offended. But the goal is to get sound doctrine. Amen? That's the goal. Okay? And so we got to make sure that that we don't get offended because somebody challenged what we believe, okay? Too many preachers today are putting their word above or on the same level as the Word of God. Too many preachers are doing that, and I see that all the time, to where, you know, a preacher will say, "Well, this is what that means." Well, prove that's what that means. Compare scripture to scripture and say that's what that means. Or a preacher will try to change the Word of God because he doesn't understand it, and he'll try to change it, change a word here, change a word there. That's not sound doctrine. Those words are perfect words. We're the pure Word of God here. We are never to change those words, and we're certainly never to go to another language to try to change those words either. We got a perfect Bible right there in our laps, folks. Just read the thing, and the Holy Spirit will teach it. And so there are a lot of preachers today that don't teach sound doctrine. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me." Therefore, it's very important for us to have sound doctrine. Now, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to show you just a few things that the Bible says are contrary to sound doctrine. There are some things that are listed out, and certainly you're going to read here that it's not just limited to these things, but there are certain things that are in the Bible that are considered contrary to sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look if you would at verse 9. It says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers," that's people who kidnap others, "for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Now, did you catch that? What he just now said was, all these things right here, if you're teaching that it's okay, it's not sound doctrine. I mean, every one of those things are listed as things contrary to sound doctrine. If a person gets up here and you choose any of those things. Now, notice it says if there be any other thing that is contrary, so certainly it's not limited to just these. But you sit there and you look at that list there, and if a preacher gets up and says, "Well, it's okay to do any of those things," it's not sound doctrine. Amen? Now, take a hard look at those things that are listed. I'll tell you this, a preacher starts preaching against all those things right there in the church of the day, and a lot of times it will be called hate language. Okay? If a preacher preaches that. But if he doesn't preach against it, it's considered unsound doctrine. Okay? And so we are to preach sound doctrine. We are to teach sound doctrine. And you say, well, where does that come from? By comparing Scripture to Scripture and sticking with the Word of God. Okay? Not by teaching my convictions. That's another mistake that a lot of preachers do, is they will teach their convictions rather than what the Word of God says. Now listen, the bottom line is this. I'm going to have some convictions that you won't have. And you're going to have some convictions that maybe I won't have. You say, where do you get that from? Well, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you have a man who believes that you can't eat meat and a man that believes that you can't eat meat. Okay? And Paul says that if you believe it's okay to eat meat, just don't eat meat in front of the fellow who believes that you can't eat meat. Because why? He's got a conviction this guy doesn't have. So this guy's not supposed to be a stumbling block to him, and he's not supposed to hate this guy for doing what he feels is wrong. And now Romans chapter 14 talks about the same thing. And so people have different convictions. But listen, now if that Bible says something's wrong, it doesn't matter what your convictions are at that point. Because it's wrong. But if you have a conviction here, and I have a different conviction about the same thing here, and the Bible is silent on the issue, it would be wrong for me to say it's a sin if you do it. Why? The Bible doesn't say that. But a lot of Christians today will stand up and they'll say, this is a sin or this is wrong, when it's not in Scripture that it's wrong, it's just his convictions. May I tell you, if a preacher is preaching his convictions and not what the Word of God says, then that is unsound doctrine. It's unsound. I mean, that's not a popular thing today, but we are to teach what the Bible says, because thy word is truth. All right, so we are to be sound in our doctrine. Now, another thing that we see here in our opening passage is, not only are we to be sound in our doctrine, but we're also to be sound in our faith. Now look at Titus 1, verse 13, it says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. Now, true faith is dependent upon true doctrine. Amen? In other words, if you have faith in something, you want to have faith in the right thing, so your faith should be grounded in sound doctrine. Because faith is, remember, the definition of faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, faith is an expression of what you believe, and what you believe is determined by what you're taught. Now, there are some things you need to understand if you're going to have sound faith. And the first thing you need to understand is this. If the doctrine is wrong, then the faith will also be wrong or in the wrong thing if the doctrine is wrong. I'll give you an example. If a man today teaches a false doctrine that says that salvation is dependent upon a man's works. Now, there are a lot of people that teach that today, that you're saved by works. Got to join the church to get saved. Got to get baptized. Got to get saved. Got to get sprinkled to get saved. Things like that. Now, if that is what's taught, you understand that that's unsound doctrine. Amen? Okay, so if a person is taught that, and he puts his faith in his works, then his faith is not sound. You see that? Now, what I'm trying to say is this. You go to a church today that teaches that works is for salvation, you got to do works for salvation, those people have faith too, but their faith is misplaced. Their faith is not sound. Now, if you have put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his blood alone to get you to heaven, then you have sound faith. But that sound faith is based on sound doctrine. You have been taught sound doctrine, and now your faith is based on that sound doctrine, so your faith is sound too. But if you have a person over here that's teaching a false doctrine, then these other people, they're going to have faith, but their faith is not going to be sound faith because it's based on unsound doctrine. What I'm trying to say is this. You go to any church around this town or in this world today that teaches wrong doctrine, and you'll find those people there, they have as much faith as you do. They'll argue to the hilt with you all day long and say, no, what you're teaching is wrong. Why? Because they've been taught unsound doctrine and their faith is unsound. But you know the truth, and if you know the truth, then your faith should be based on that truth. In other words, what you are putting your faith in is based on the sound doctrine that you were taught. If you're saved here today, you have put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You believe he died on the cross for your sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And you're trusting in him. You've called upon him to forgive you. And you're trusting in him and him alone to get you to heaven. Now that is sound faith in a sound doctrine. But there are a lot of people today that put their faith in other things. There are people today that put their faith in Mary. Now they have as much faith as you. But it's not sound faith because it's not based on sound doctrine. There are people today that put their faith in Buddha. There are a lot of people today that put their faith in Muhammad. Now tell me they don't have faith. They're ready to blow themselves up in a crowd. But it's they have unsound faith because of unsound doctrine. And so we are to have sound doctrine, and then we are to have sound faith. But if the doctrine is wrong, then the faith will often be wrong as well. Now, sound doctrine today teaches that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's sound doctrine and sound faith in that. Amen? So if the doctrine's wrong, then the faith will often be wrong too. Number two is faith that isn't genuine is hypocrisy. There in Titus chapter 1, verse 13, notice it talks about them being sound in faith, not sincere in faith. Now, I'll remind you again that there are many people who are very sincere in what they believe. You know, when you go to Jehovah's Witness, you see the Jehovah's Witnesses here? They go door to door, and they are very sincere in what they believe. Those guys that ride around the bicycles, the Mormons, you know what? They're very sincere in what they believe. They're very sincere. But the Bible doesn't talk about being sincere. It's talking about being sound. Okay? Now, notice in verse 13, we're also told that in order to have sound faith, sharp rebuke may be necessary. Now, boy, that's not a very popular thing. But the truth of the matter is this. Who is responsible for promoting sound doctrine and sound faith? You know who it is? The local church. That's who's responsible. Who's responsible for the greatest amount of confusion and false teaching that's going on today? Churches. So many today have refused to speak out for fear of being judged or being called judgmental. But God has instructed us to rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. What does that mean? That means that today if somebody gets up and if a law is being passed and we know it's wicked, we should be able to stand up and say that that is an abomination to God. But more than just saying that, you should be able to give a scripture that proves that. Why? Because that would make it sound doctrine. Now, if the Bible says it, and it's so, it's sound doctrine. Amen? We should be able to stand up and say, this is wrong, or this is wicked. According to the scriptures, we should take a stand against these things, rebuking them so that they may have sound faith. You know what? There may be somebody in a crowd who's saved and says, hey, you know what? He's right. I remember reading that in the Bible. That's what it's talking about. Now, notice when it says there that we are to rebuke sharply, it doesn't say we're to be nasty. Now, there's some people out there just nasty when they rebuke. I remember one time I was out door knocking, and we were, you know, we go door to door, and you know, how you doing? We're from this church, and we're out inviting people to church, and yeah, have you ever been to church before? And let me ask you this, are you saved? Well, the conversation started off that way, but when that person went to go shut the door, didn't even hear what he had to say, went to go shut the door, and the guy was with me, put his foot right there in the door and stopped that door from closing and said, well, are you not concerned that you're going to go to hell? I mean, right in a dude's face. I thought, man, this guy's going to get punched. Well, listen, you don't have to be nasty about it. We are obligated to give them the truth, but you don't have to be nasty. We are obligated to rebuke them so that they may have sound faith, but you don't have to be a jerk about it. Amen? Why? It's not your job to be a jerk about it. It's your job just to give them the truth. That's what you're supposed to do. And that's the reason 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26 says this. It says this, and the servant Lord must not strive, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, I know it's hard for a lot of us. It's hard to be patient sometimes with people. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. In other words, what we're supposed to do when somebody teaches something that isn't right, or when something is wicked and we take a stand and somebody jumps up there and says, ah, you're judging people. You know what you need to do? Just with patience, just tell them what the Bible says and then move on. Let the Lord do the work. Let His words do the work. So we're always to show grace towards others, but we must stand for truth no matter what the cost. And God holds us accountable to defend the truth as we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're equipped with the armor of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because we are in a battle, folks. We are in a battle. We are to have sound doctrine. We are to be sound in our faith. And then the third thing, we're to be sound in our behavior. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and look at verse 13. We're to be sound in our behavior. We're to have sound doctrine. We're to have sound faith. And then we are to be sound in our behavior. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 13. Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, sound words has to do with our speech, and certainly we're to have a good conversation is what the Bible tells us we're to have, and conversation speaks of our actions. And if we have sound doctrine and we have sound faith, then we should also be sound in our behavior as Christians. Now, you say, well, why is that? Because everything you do represents Christ. Everything you say represents Christ. Now, there are a lot of believers today that are not sound in their behavior, and certainly they're not sound with their words. If there's one thing that, and it's only by the grace of God that I haven't done this too, but the one thing that just drives me nuts is when a Christian gets caught either telling a lie or saying something he shouldn't say, or you know, speaking bad about somebody behind their back. Folks, those are not sound words. They're not sound words. You know, we used to live in a country to where a handshake meant everything. Right. You know, just when we're looking at buying this building today, I mean, just the buy-sell agreement was 15 pages long. You know why that is? Because a man's handshake don't mean anything. Amen? Well, listen, it's one of the worst things in the world today for a Christian to get caught lying, or a Christian to promise something and not come through with it. That's not sound. I mean, that's a horrible thing. What a testimony. The world's watching us every day. You know what? We need to think before we speak. If you can't do something, don't make a vow that you're going to do it. And, you know, if you can't come up with the money, then don't take the loan. If you can't come up with what you've promised, don't make the promise. We need to think before we speak. And another thing, too, sometimes we get angry and things coming out of our mouth that shouldn't. You say, oh, not me. Oh, yeah? Missed that nail one time and hit your thumb. And see what comes out your mouth. Now, I would pray that, you know, something like, amazing grace comes out of my mouth whenever I hit my thumb. But I can't guarantee that. Amen? But we're to be sound in our speech. Why? Because everybody's listening to us. There are Christians around you listening to you. And certainly, you know, you can be a stumbling block to them. And certainly there are other people that listen to you. The world's listening to you right now, just waiting for you to mess up. And boy, I tell you what, when you're a Christian and they know you're a Christian, or they've heard you say you're a Christian, and all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth, they're sitting there like a buzzard on a fence post saying, you're just like us. That's exactly what they're doing. We need to be sound in our speech. Sound in our speech. Every word we say, we need to remember this. What we say, we're representing Jesus Christ with the words that we say. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, I think about people, speakers, preachers, that's been famous in this country. I think about people like Jim Baker and people like Jimmy Swaggart, two men that messed up pretty bad in life. But you know, these men weren't just men who went wrong morally. These men were wrong doctrinally long before that. They were not sound in doctrine. They were not sound in faith. And it began to show in their behavior. Now, what I'm trying to get is this. Notice it says that we are to be sound in doctrine. And then it says we are to be sound in faith. And then it says that we are to be sound in behavior. Do you realize how that works? If you're getting the right teaching and you're sound in doctrine, then that's going to affect your faith and what it's in. If, in other words, if you have been taught sound doctrine, then as your faith grows, then you'll have sound faith. And as your faith starts to grow, and it being sound, you know what it's going to lead to? Sound behavior. Why is this so important? Well, what we like to do is when a person comes in, they first get saved, we say, now here's what you need to do. You need to make sure you dress right, and make sure you comb your hair right, make sure you get just the right amount of perfume right there, and that way you look the part. Well, listen, that has really nothing to do with being a Christian, amen?
Amen.
Right. Has nothing to do with it. Listen, what are we to do? We're to take that Christian to first get saved and teach him sound doctrine.
Amen.
Sound doctrine. That's why we're to disciple him. Why? Because there's false teachers out there that's ready to just get him, because it says that a baby Christian will be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So what we are to do is we're supposed to teach him sound doctrine. And if we teach him sound doctrine, and as he starts to read his Bible and he's getting more preaching of sound doctrine, you know what's going to happen? He'll start to grow in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll start to grow in faith. And as he starts to grow in faith, and that faith is sound, you know what's going to happen? He's going to change from the inside out. And you know what? That's what you want. Rather than trying to make everybody act the part, we need to teach them sound doctrine so they'll have sound faith, so that their behavior will follow right along with them. That's the reason why folks and people, when I see a person get saved and they come to church, I don't care what they're wearing. Listen, I mean, obviously if it's so bad that everybody's sitting there looking at them, we might have to do something, I don't know. But if they come in here and they're wearing a shirt, a t-shirt, I don't care about that. Why? They just got saved, man, you know? And they say, well, listen, you know, I heard him, he got saved last week. You would not believe what he listened to in his car. He listens to country music. I don't care what they listen to in their car. Why? Listen, it's not my job to change them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change them. And so my job and your job is to teach sound doctrine. And their job is, as they're being taught sound doctrine, to grow in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in sound faith. And then after that, they start to change. And then pretty soon, they used to cuss, but they don't cuss anymore. They used to go around and talk about things that they shouldn't talk about, but they don't do that anymore. Why? Because they start to get convictions. That's not right. You see how it all leads right there together? We are to be sound. Sound in doctrine, sound in faith, sound in behavior. And they all lead one to another. Amen?
Amen.
All right.